All right, here we go. Okay, today I want to share about Jesus, our example of believing. All right. When we look at the Gospels, right, we see the life of Jesus Christ. We see that he lived a life of believing. And we're going to look at some key verses here and then some things to consider about it. In James, like 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word, right, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we see Jesus is a doer in the Gospels, and we're going to see that. And we also, it says that faith is without works is what? Dead, right? Like as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And we're going to see that Jesus Christ just didn't speak the word and believe the word. He acted on the word. And that was evidence of his believing. He worked and he walked with the Father. So as we, let's turn to Hebrews 12:2. We'll start with that. Well, Hebrews 12:1 and then... So Hebrews 12:1, it says, wherefore, and wherefore is referring to chapter 11, has all the chapter on believing, faith by faith, Noah by faith, Enoch, Abel, and Sarah, and so forth. But it says, wherefore, we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us. So it's telling us we need to run with patience a race that's before us, right? And how do we do that? Look at verse 2. Looking. That word looking is you look away from everything else. We're not looking at the believers in the 11th chapter. We're looking unto Jesus. Because it says, we are looking unto Jesus who is the author and the finisher of believing. Ours is in italics. So he's the author. It says the princely leader. Put it this way in the vernacular. He wrote the book on believing. Okay? Just it makes it real simple, right? We don't have to get into Greek words here. He wrote the book on. He was a perfecter. He perfectly believed God. So if we look to him, how he did it, I think we can learn how we can do it, right? If he did it, we can do it. Right? And we're going to see that. And it says, okay, so he's the author and finisher. We're going to stop there on this verse, and let's go to Luke 2:49. We'll get back to the rest of that verse later on. Now, in 2:49, I believe this is the first recorded, words of Jesus Christ. It's when he was in the he was with his family and he was in the synagogue and asking questions of the Pharisees and so forth, and the whole caravan went ahead, left, and they thought he was with them. It was 3 days' journey, and they come back. So let's pick it up here in verse 49. And they come back and they said, yo, what's going on here? Paraphrase here. Verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Don't you know, or that I must be about my Father's business? His first recorded words, he was to be about his Father's business. The last recorded words are, it is finished. Between those two is his life of believing, okay? And that's what we're going to look at. He believed God to start his Father's business and to finish it. That's on his earthly ministry, still engaged, okay, if you will. He's not vacationing here. Look at John 20. Tells us why this stuff's written. And verse 30. Right there. And many other signs, truly, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, why? That you might, what? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The whole purpose of these records of his life and ministry is so that we may believe. See, that's the purpose. And then believing we'll have his life. Look at Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38 sort of summarizes his ministry. So if you want to learn how to believe God, we have to look at the life of Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher, right? So 10:38 of Acts says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed with the devil, for God was with him. That's just sort of a summary of his whole life, his whole ministry. But the key word I want to bounce off here is he went about doing. He didn't just go speaking, he did. All right? So that's what we're going to look at here. Look at John 4:34. We're going to do a lot of bouncing around here. I sort of put them in order so we don't have to be page turning weary and get them fingers tired, if you will. Page fatigue. All right, 4:34. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and do what? Finish his work." See, he started and he knew what his job was. And that's what his will was. His will was to do God's will. Remember the word to do. Look at John, turn to the next page, 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he, the Father, doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." So he can't do anything of himself. So he's clear on what he can do. He's clear on what his Father can do. Very clear. But he does what the Father tells him to do. We're going to look at verse 30. "I can of my own self do nothing," he reiterates that. "As I hear, I judge." As he hears from the Father, he judges. "And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me." So he pursued his will. It didn't just come to him. He had to study the word, you know, he had to get in prayer and find out what God wanted in situations. So he didn't just wake up programmed, you know, pre-programmed. So he sought the Father's will. That was his focus. And look at, we're in John again. Go chapter 8. 8:28. You're making it easy today. Let's go chapter after chapter. "Then Jesus said unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Verse 29. "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." He always does the will of the Father that please him. And we know in Hebrews it says, without believing, it is impossible to please God. And I don't think somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it says anywhere in the Word of God that Jesus believed God, literally. His life was believing. He epitomized believing. I don't think it says Jesus believed God, or he tried to believe God. Maybe I'm wrong there. But you can see he pleased God, and you can see that he did the will of God, so that is believing. That basically is the definition of believing that we're talking about. Look at John, we're saying, chapter 10. John 10. So what that part of that believing, what's involved in that? So 10:18. It says, "No man," now he's talking about, look at verse 17. "Therefore doth my Father loved me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down. It's his own free will. He died for us, right? He laid down his life. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I've received from my Father, right? And then in Philippians, it says he became obedient unto death. He'll be obedient to the Father's commandment unto death, the death of the cross. Then it said God highly exalted him, gave him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus, like every knee shall bow, right? Things heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. But Jesus, it took humility in believing. He humbled himself and became obedient. He humbled himself to the word of God, not his own will, his own desires. And he had wills and desires. He was a man. He was tempted in all points like we are, right? So he had desires, wills, temptations. There's a lot of them. We're not getting into that today, but just look at all the obstacles in his way. But he had the focus. You know, we sought the will of God to do the will of God. That was his primary focus, and he locked in on that. I think we could learn something from that. So let's back to Hebrews 12. Now we'll pick up the next verse here. We'll pick it up in verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember, the joy that was set before him, that's how he can do all this stuff. God said told him he's going to raise him from the dead. There's plenty of verses that he basically communicated this. You know, 3 days I'll be in the ground, and I'll be up in 3 days. And he's told, look at John, keep your finger here. Look at John 14. It's a good verse here. This is, should have stayed in John over there. Left turn here. 14:1. It says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will what? Come again. So he's coming back. He knew he's coming back. He had that set before him. God probably, he sets him the joy before him. That's how he endured the cross. So, it says, looking unto Jesus. Now, in the next verse, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. The context here in verse, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, run with patience that race. And here it says, if you don't do this stuff, look unto Jesus, consider him, you'd be weary and you're going to faint in your mind. You're going to quit. Lay down. Relax. You're going to get overwhelmed by the world. And the word consider him endures such contradiction. Contradiction means opposition or rebellion. He had all kinds of rebellion against him. His own apostles betrayed him, right? Denied him. You had the guy on the cross, the bad guy on the left, right? The left wing. The liberal on the left. But he said, you know, he fed the same in his teeth, right? So he had all kinds of opposition. The Pharisees said he had a devil. His family thought he was beside himself. They couldn't believe him in his own town. So there was a lot of stuff. That was the mental stuff. And then the physical torture and beating. So he had that. But he had the joy set before him that he could endure the cross. That's a whole other depth of teaching. So we consider him. So when we say consider him, page 2. All right. Consider is to think over, ponder. Okay? Consider him. We look at him, look at his life, and then we consider what he really did. All right? And the word faint in your mind is then you become weary and you give up, basically. You just say, oh, the hell with it. You know? You just quit because you think there's no hope. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. That's because of what you're focused on. So here's some things we should consider. Consider what Jesus said we are to do. Here, look at back to John. Here we go. John 15. pretty unique. We're looking in the Gospels of all this stuff. 15. So what do we consider? Things to consider. 15:5. First, we're going to consider what Jesus said we ought to do. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. It's pretty similar to that Jesus couldn't do nothing without God, right? Same relationship here. Without him, we can't do anything, right? So now, look at verse 7, though. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. See, that's his direction, action, right? Jesus did the will of God, so he's telling us what the will of God is here. Abide in him. He's abiding in us, and we ask, and it shall be done. We can have confidence things will get done. Look at John 15, verse 10. See, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So that's how you abide in them. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, I abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, why? That your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How did Jesus endure the cross? For the joy that was set before him. Jesus is setting the joy before us. How do we see what's before us? What are we to look at and consider? We look at his word, and we're going to see some scriptures around this, how we keep that joy before us. Because life gets challenging at times, right? We've all been here, right? And John 8, look at John 8, or in John, might as well go there. John 8, 31. Said we should run the race before us, right? And you don't take a pit stop in the race, right? We just keep going. You don't take a detour, right? Take a vacation. It says, verse 31, John, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word and my disciples, indeed. The key word I want to bounce off here is continue. We continue in the word. Continue. We be steadfast in the word. Like he was. He continued in the word. He started the will of the Father and he finished the will of the Father. That's how we're supposed to do. These are the words what he's telling us to do here. We don't have to make this stuff up ourselves. So that's what's neat. Okay, now we consider what we have in Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Now, we go on there. Because of what we did, this is what we can look forward to. This is what we should look forward to. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now look at verse 18. Here's what we should look at. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, when we have situations in life, physical, mental, emotional, whatever, some roadblocks, look at, everything could be changed that you see, smell, hear, taste, or touch. They're subject to change. A doctor's report can be changed, right? They're going to report facts. God can change the facts, right? So we look at the Word of God. You don't say the doctor's crazy. No, he's good. He's going by whatever facts he has, and he's reporting them. But now we go to a higher power that we can supersede those facts and have it changed by believing, trusting God. But we look at the things which are not seen. Here's some of the things we should look at. Look at Titus 2:13. Timothy, Titus. Tells the word looking here, right here. 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where our focus should be. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy set before us. He's coming back. And so it's real, not so we just know it. We believe it. It's know and believe. And we act accordingly. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:57. It's a great verse. I mean, great chapter. I'm not reading the chapter, but whole context here is that it says we're going to be changed. You know, if we're mortal, it's going to put on immortality, right? Corruption, it's going to put on incorruption. We're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye, right? All that stuff. It just, if you read that, it just blows your mind. But then here's the summary of it. Verse 57, but thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, keep in focus, look unto Him, consider what He did, consider what the Word says, that who we are in Him, what we have in Him, and be steadfast on it. Don't get discouraged. We get discouraged when we take our mind off the Word, onto the world, onto our situations or circumstances. So it's very clear here, but it's an effort on our part to do this. Now I'm going to close in 1 John 3. This sort of like sums it up. 3:18, 1 John. We started this with Jesus is a doer of the word, right? He was a doer. And not a hearer only, and it sort of reiterates this right here in verse 18, 1 John 3:18. It says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby, by loving in deed and in truth, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts. That's how you can be assured of God's word when you're doing the word, see? Because you're actually doing it experientially. You can assure that when you give and you see the reception coming back to you, that when you're operating God's principles, you give and believing, you get confidence doing that. You pray for someone, they get healed. You pray for yourself to get healed. You get more confidence in that. See, it's just a cycle. So we assure our hearts as we love in deed and in truth. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater in our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, see, then we have confidence toward God. Jesus had supreme confidence towards God. He was fully persuaded what God said He was able to do. And He did do. And many times He just went out and, I know the Father hears me, told Lazarus to come raised from the dead and so forth. He had complete confidence in His Father. We can get to that point having complete confidence in what God says we are as we love in word and deed, not just knowing all this stuff and then take the next step, the action part. Verse 22, see, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are what? Pleasing in His sight. Jesus always pleased the Father, right? And without believing, it's impossible to please God, right? So as we do act with believing, we are pleasing in His sight. We're believing God. And verse 23, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandments. So we continue to look to Him, consider Him in every situation, and act on what He said, act on what the Word says, and we shall see great deliverance in our lives. Amen.